Previously on The Mortal Path.
I believe we are in my past.
Well, what do you want to know?
I don't know. Where'd you come from? What's your mum's name? What do you do for a living?
For a living? Well, I travel about, you know, various things here and there.
This is exactly what I'm fucking talking about, Taro.
You know, I've got a lot going on.
This and that, little bit woo, little bit wah.
It's pretty simple, you know. I show up somewhere. I start talking to people, and people
pay you to leave.
And then I find a way to make some money. It's pretty, well, it's happened a few times. Tell me, did you mean what you said?
About what?
About, you know, her hurting your friend?
I said that? I don't not like you.
No, it's alright, it's fine. It's fine.
It's just we seem to be drawn together by something, and...
Yeah, no, I get it. Perhaps you ought to go see if Index is alright.
So, Nerium, you feel this embrace, this hug from Taro, and there's this minute where you feel like you're tumbling and you're falling, and then your vision clears, and you are suddenly looking out into this room that has Nat in it, and you are trapped in the mirror, and Taro is beside you, eyes wide and unseeing, like he's seeing something else. You can see Natalia curled up on the floor right by the mirror, a little bit further out from the mirror, but very close to it in front of you. You can see a big table that's got all these parts and pieces, and you see on the table the same plate piece that you saw in the vision before.
I immediately bang on the mirror with my fists and shout, Nat, Nat!
As you start banging against the mirror, it moves, it pushes like rubbery.
And does Nat respond at all?
Nat doesn't respond to... Well, make me a perception check, Nat, at disadvantage, actually.
That good wisdom modifier.
It's a 10, which means it's a 9.
You feel a kind of disturbance. There's a disturbance in the force behind you.
Come on, don't do that.
There's a kind of like disturbance behind you, but you can't hear anything. It's more like vibration almost, or like air movement.
She can't hear us, Taro.
Yeah, I know. I think.
Can you see the little droopy-eared guy?
What, in the mirror?
Yeah, and he's got the wheel on the mirror.
Yeah, can I see this?
Yes.
Cool. Yes, I can see that. I've been informed.
Right. And Nat couldn't hear you either.
No, I don't think so. No.
Fuck.
What can I do here? Can I touch stuff?
You know when you put on like VR goggles?
I wouldn't have done that, but yeah.
Have you ever put on a VR goggle?
No, I've never put on VR goggles.
Okay.
No,
I
have.
VR goggles, UB?
Maybe once.
I do. What kind of crazy high-tech world you're living in?
I know.
Web 2.0.
Okay, so if you imagine what it's like when you put VR goggles, in that, like, you can't see your body, but you have this kind of viewpoint.
Yeah.
It's like that. So how are you going to try and reach out?
I'm going to stumble around with my arms out in front of me.
Okay.
I think I'm also carrying a sword, right?
Yeah, you were poking Nat with it.
Yes,
that's
you
true.
Do have a sword.
I'm going to swing it around slowly.
Sword out. I am forcibly removed from the mirror.
Nice.
That's a very good joke.
That was a good joke.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's not really a joke. It's a reference. I like it. It's good.
Okay,
I like it, whatever
good. Let's
it
not dissect it.
It doesn't have to be a joke to be funny.
That's true. Okay, so...
That's what my mum says to me every day. I don't speak to my mum every day.
Okay.
Don't get the wrong idea about my...
emotional attachments to people.
Is that to remind you that you're funny or you're a joke?
Whichever you prefer. I think I'm, like moving my sword around, trying to, like, poke anything I can poke, but, like, slowly. I'm just... I think I'm disoriented by the fact that I can't see shit, and so I'm making the best of a bad situation with a sword.
Okay, so in quote-unquote reality, Taro, like, does start to wave his sword around, but from what you can see, you you can't... You don't, like, exist in a corporeal form in this sense, so that doesn't impact what you're seeing at all.
I'm making contact on stuff, right?
Yeah, like, you're kind of like hitting the rubbery kind of surface of the mirror. You kind of know what that feels like. And Neria, make me a dexterity saving throw.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if it's rubbery and it bounces, then I'm dodging fucking...
It's more like, you know when you
stretch... Oh, that's a 19. 19, modifiers, yeah. So I'm good.
You get so out the way. But the mirror is more like if you imagine like a stretched pair of tights.
So we can't stretch through it until we can reach the Alice wheel doodad.
You haven't tried stretching that far.
Well, didn't I get a whole sword length in there?
You got most of a sword, but it became very difficult towards the end.
Jesus.
Listen.
Can I?
Yes, Nat, please, save us.
Can I, like, wave a hand? I'm not sure how much of this I did last time. Can I wave a hand in front of my face?
Yes. You do that, you feel the air movement, you know that you are there, physically.
Can I clap my hands?
You can. You do that. You feel the impact, but you don't hear anything. But make me an insight check.
Insight?
Yeah, make me an insight check.
That's an 18.
Okay. Ooh, okay. So you clap your hands and there's nothing. There's no sound. There's no vision. You can feel, you know, your palms hitting together, the distortion of the air. And then you feel a touch that's like it's coming from 1,000 miles away, and it's a very, very gentle brush of fingers through your hair, and for a minute it's almost disconcerting, but you realize that you can feel that they are scaled fingers, and it's this Ooh. Very kind of gentle touch, like someone moving hair out your face, and you hear a voice that you know very well, but again almost muffled, like they're speaking through a couple of rooms away, and it's Findex, and he goes, "Ah, don't give up. You're just... Oh.
Findex?
There's a tiny, like, change, almost as if, like, if someone was holding you, they've changed position. Findex is just kind of repeating gently these things. You very much get the sense that somewhere he's got you.
Can we hear Nat say Findex?
Yes.
Can we hear Findex speaking?
Make me an insight check.
Insight?
Do I also have to make an insight check?
Yes.
I thought insight was more like you're reading somebody's...
11.
The way they're speaking to see if they're being, like, truthful.
Yeah, so I'm trying to read insight as, like, an emotional intelligence. So it's kind of like the insight is enough to kind of, like, feel that connection and that bond, because I can't think what else it would be. Is it intelligence? It's not going to be nature or survival.
Right.
I'm kind of reading as, like, your insight as being both, like, an external insight into other people, but also an internal insight into, like, this sort of connection type deal. So you got an 11, and Taro got a...
What is that on my shit? There it is. 20, but augmented style.
Oh, shit. Okay.
A regular 20. Not one to get excited. It's not worth getting excited about. So... I hope you didn't get excited.
I'm excited.
That's your first mistake, and you're last.
Okay. Alrighty. Naomi, you don't hear Findex. You don't have any sort of extra kind of feelings or hear anything. But Taro,
I'm dead inside.
I'm emo, so I do.
You do, and there's an almost pressure sort of like on your shoulder, sort of like, you know, where you're like your shoulder and your collarbone meet, like maybe like there's a hand on you type thing, and you can hear this the same things that Nat is hearing, and it's very muffled and it's very far away. But the other thing you notice, Taro, is that there's this kind of awareness as to where Nerium is. There's almost this kind of like bond feeling, like a connected feeling to Nerium. Even though you can't see her, you're kind of hyper aware of where she is.
It was literally one hug.
Listen, hey, one hug can save the world.
I mean, I know I'm good.
One hug is the deepest. So, like...
That's a great song.
Okay.
You also... Sorry, one thing. Nerium and Taro, both of you also feel distinctly less hungry. Like, markedly less hungry.
Are we in the wrong campaign?
You feel sustained.
You can't say that because it's going to go out in the wrong order. It won't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, but you've tainted it.
I tainted it. I brought it up.
I mean, if there's a taint anywhere.
We've all got him.
Okay, can we get back in the mood? Yeah, what's happening? Not to do with taints.
Okay, so.
You were going to say something.
I've heard some spooky voice.
It's not a spooky voice, it's Findex. Unless you think Findex is spooky.
I think I'm fed up. I think Tara is now annoyed again. He's fed up. All right, fuck this. This sucks. I'm going to cast a spell.
Okay. What are you going to cast?
I'm going to, in a moment of just annoyance, I'm going to point my finger out forwards, and I'm going to cast a spell I haven't cast yet.
Ooh.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Identify.
It's Shatter.
Oh!
Ooh. Hey!
Okay. My boy. Yeah, okay. Roll me a d20 with advantage.
Okie dokie.
Advantage?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In before I fuck it up.
Now, it is a higher DC.
I got a natural 20.
Did you really?
Oh! I did. Oh my. That was one of the
you
two.
You beauty.
I got okay. It.
You take the second to center yourself. You feel this budding frustration, this anger, and as you reach out with your finger extended, you feel this familiar spark of magic that starts in your palm. And as it jumps back to your elbow in this very distinctive way, there's a second where it almost branches out and there's this feeling of feedback from Nerium. There's this sense again of this kind of connection that strengthens and bolsters your magic. And as you cast this spell, what's it look like, first and foremost?
Have you seen Tawaru Kagaku no Railgun?
I have not seen that.
No.
That's
fine. You're going to have to describe it.
Basically, Taro sticks his hand out in a kind of, you know, he's doing a finger gun. The thumb is up, the index finger is forward, pointing out, like, arm's length, straight forward. He drops his sword at this, right? He throws his sword on the goddamn ground.
Okay.
He's pissed off. He's throwing that shit on the ground. And that same kind of, like, what do we describe it as? Like a kind of pressure build-up happens?
Yeah.
From when he does his other spells? He sticks his finger out in a gun, his forefinger out with his thumb up, like a gun.
Not that you know what a gun is, because I don't
Not
exist.
That he knows what a gun is, but I do. Yeah, so he sticks his arm out, like, dead straight, thumb up, index finger out, and
yep.
Then this pressure kind of shoots down, like, it's a channeling of energy, like, down his arm.
Yep.
And then there's an eerie silence for a second, I think.
Okay.
And then something like high pressure shoots out of his finger.
Okay. Can you not? This is a serious moment.
And then just like, I don't know, something happens, right?
There's a streak of white energy.
There's some kind of fucking explosion on the other side of the room or somewhere. I don't know.
I think you shatter the mirror.
Hell yeah. It's a fucking big explosion. It's big. Everyone's ears hurt now.
Yeah. Nerea, make me a constitution saving throw.
17.
It says attack/save con 13. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the spell save was 13. She had to hit 13, which she did.
Okay, so yeah, you take half as much damage.
Yeah, go on. Roll me my damage.
I mean, you could just fake the rules.
No, roll the damage.
Tarot friendly fire, Tarnassian.
Roll your damage.
Who?
You! You cast the spell!
Oh yeah, I forget. That's how this game works. It's different to the other game. 4. Whoa, I just hit my mic with my hand while I was throwing a dice around. Hold on. In the end, I did 13 damage.
Okay, so you take 6 points of damage. Nerim, you see Taro point at the surface of the mirror. There is a second of silence before there is this awful, huge noise that knocks you backwards. And you take this damage from it as you feel like your ears are ringing, maybe almost bleeding, but the mirror in front of you shatters. And there is this second where reality in front of you warps in this really off-putting, awful way. And then you see this kind of like portal. Nerium, you see this. Taro, you don't see this. But Nerium, you see this kind of like portal to the room that Nat is in, but it is closing incredibly quickly.
He just fucking blew me up. So I dive through it.
Make me a dexterity check.
Just dex check.
Or an acrobatics check.
Acrobatics. 15.
Yep, you dive through it. Taro, make me a perception check.
I think I've used up my good roll for the game, so get used to some bad shit.
Yeah, this could go really badly wrong.
Six. I got a six. It's a six.
You got a six?
Yeah, I got a six. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You feel this kind of weird, almost like a wind, and then it stops, and you can't hear anything. You're just looking at this vision.
Hey, Nerium, you right? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You hear a very, very muffled...
I am booking it to the piece of wheel that I need to slap on the outside of the mirror.
Okay.
Now, what's happened to the wheel now that the mirror is shattered?
So as you turn to look back to it, the mirror has reformed and Taro is in it. The proto-Alice wheel is still there. You go leaping through this mirror and there is a second where everything around you is like grey static, and then you are in the room with Nat and you hit the ground and you roll and you leap up and you grab that plate. Natalia, you feel this kind of burst of like wind behind you and you feel what almost feels like snowflakes, like something cold hitting your skin and then kind of melting away immediately. And you feel like the vibration of someone like running beside you, over you.
I try to scurry out of the way.
Okay, so you push back from the mirror.
I'd like to scramble around on the floor and try and pick up my sword that I threw away while I was angry.
Taro, you grab your sword. And Nerium, you rush up to the mirror and you put this plate-like thing on it and there is a spark of kind of bluish magic and it seals and it starts to look more like the Alice wheel that you have seen before. And Taro, as this happens, you feel this kind of shift in the magic around you and your vision changes slightly because now the thing that Axon is drawing over to him is like a little hourglass sand timer.
Taro, I put the thing on the wheel.
Yeah, that monster thing. You remember the monster thing?
Yes. Axon.
Yeah, that thing. It's got a... Look, did I hurt you when I blew up the thing? I was very angry and...
Yes, you did. What about the monster?
I should really apologise for that.
No, you can do that later, Taro.
Oh, it's got an hourglass now. It's the Alice wheel thing.
What's it doing with the hourglass?
It's trying to whack it on the Alice wheel.
Right, give me a second. I turn back to the room and I can see Nat there. And I'm going to go to Nat first, I'm afraid.
Okay.
And I just want to take one of her hands very gently and I'm going to Helen Keller it. I'm going to turn her palm up and just draw a heart shape on it, if she'll let me.
I think there's definitely an immediate like pullback.
Yeah.
Just of someone like touching. And then if Nerium goes to grab again, there'll be like a little more give and I'll let you. But I'm just going to roll a perception check.
Aww.
I have no idea what you're drawing on my palm.
Okay. Are you scared? Do you seem scared?
Oh, I'm scared. I'm terrified.
Okay.
What are you doing?
Nat, you can't hear me. I will just stroke her palm gently in a sort of gentling kind of patting kind of, don't be scared. And I'm saying at the same time, Nat, don't be scared, Nat. We're going to help you as soon as we can.
I'm going to bring my other hand up and touch theirs and start to, like, work my way up the arm. I'm sure I would have... I'm sure I would have touched Nerium before.
Okay. Now, yes.
I think I...
Fan fiction would say.
I'm thinking I would know, like, the feel of her clothes.
Yeah. You do know vaguely what Nerium's clothes feel like because she has been making kind of her outfits. You've seen her when she's washed her outfit. She's wearing parts of the clothing from Atenas Manor. You also know that Nerium is very small. Like, this is a little hand and like a little arm.
I think...
I have big gold loopy earrings.
I'm going to go up the arm,
mm-hmm,
and like try and like touch this person's face.
Just what?
Oh my God.
Sorry.
It's hello.
I'm fine.
And I think with the earrings as well, I'll be able to tell it's, yep, Nerium, bro.
Yes. You also feel as there's this connection where your hands kind of go to her face. There's this second where both of you feel this kind of like a tug. And again, Nerium, this is very familiar. It's this feeling of like tumbling forwards. Do you go with it?
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. I think I pull back slightly. If I start tumbling forward.
Okay.
I have experienced this before.
Yeah.
And ain't no way I want to swap places with Nat right now.
Okay.
Sorry. So once she's felt my face enough and my ears.
Yep.
And my, you know, tugged on my hair or whatever, I'm going to take both her hands put them together down in her lap and just sort of pat them.
Okay.
In a kind of, you just wait there. Which, you know, probably isn't massively reassuring, but is the most I can do because I really need to get to that egg timer.
Okay.
Hourglass.
You grab it.
And go back to the mirror.
Okay, you do that. You press it against the Alice wheel. And there's a second where you're just kind of holding it to a plate on top of a kind of bad version of the Alice wheel.
How does this work?
And then it melts through the plate. And you see the sand inside it kind of popping out and swirling into the material off the Alice wheel. And as that happens, Taro, your vision, which you've been watching on repeat, changes again. And this time, Axon is pulling forth six kind of button-like objects from the table. And you can see in this vision the exertion. You can see that he is kind of sweating and trembling. And you can see that he's almost looking gaunter. He's almost looking, like, thinner.
How hungry are we right now?
So, Taro, you don't feel particularly hungry. Nerium, your kind of feeling of not feeling hungry has suddenly spiked again into hunger. And Natalia, you are even more hungry.
Oh.
All right, looks like that it's doing something. We're onto, like, buttons now, I think.
What, like, shank buttons or sew-through buttons?
I too want to know this, Yubi. Please explain.
You tell me.
Big ones, you sure they're not like duffel toggles?
They're like,
what kind of buttons?
They're like switches.
Oh, that kind of buttons.
And you see them on the table.
I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I'm a bit peckish and all now. Nat, can you hear me?
You cannot hear her, Nat.
Nah, no, okay, right, sorry. Buttons.
Buttons,
yeah,
buttons.
Buttons. I go and grab the buttons. Do they have numbers on?
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 No.
Thank fuck. Are they in any obvious sort of order?
Nope. It's just a collection of, like, switches.
Do they all look the same?
Yeah, there's more than six of them.
Great. I grab six. Okay. And I just slap them on one at a time in hopes that it'll work.
As you do that, again, there's a second of resistance, and then they shift and they form the same kind of layout of the Alice wheel that you have seen before. And these glowing kind of runes show on them that you recognize, kind of, because they look very similar to the ones you briefly saw on the Alice wheel, but you can't read them, per se.
No. It's got runes on it, Taro.
What kind of runes?
I don't know. They look like the old ones. The ones in the Nat's bag. Oh, shit. Has Nat got her bag
with her? Nat does have her bag with her.
Wait, hold the fuck up. Do I have the Alice wheel in my bag?
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Where is Nat's bag? Are you clutching it? Is it on you? What kind of bag?
I think it's on me. Like, slung over her shoulder.
I'd like to sleight of hand that.
Okay, roll me a sleight of hand check. And Nat, roll me a perception check with advantage. Because the only sense you have right now is touch.
Oh, shit. I do not have proficiency in sleight of hand. I am not really a thief.
A lady's 16. You just 16?
Like cosplaying a thief.
17.
Oh. Ooh. Okay, so I think with that, you feel like Nerium is next to you, but you don't know necessarily that she's going through your bag. So I think you know that Nerium is close.
Okay.
But you don't know what she's doing.
I am comforted.
I mean, out of interest while I'm there, there's nothing new in that bag that I haven't seen go in there.
No.
Cool. If I whip out the Alice wheel and hold it up, does it look the same as the one on the mirror?
As you hold it up, you can see that the one on the mirror is changing. It is morphing to look more like the Alice wheel you're holding. And you notice the Alice wheel you're holding, you don't get the fizzies from it. It feels kind of like an inanimate... I mean, it is an inanimate object, but it feels non-magical in the same way that, like, your dagger feels non-magical and your vial feels non-magical. It's like the magic in it isn't there right now.
Mundane.
Mundane. A mundane item.
Right. I am going to take it over to the mirror, though, and I'm going to turn it the other way round to the one that's on the mirror and just hold it up and see if anything happens. So we've got, like, a two-way door, if it worked.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. There is a couple of seconds that go by. And then the one on the mirror that was originally there solidifies its form and it glows with this kind of gentle pulsing blue magic, just like when you saw it the first time in Atenas Manor.
Taro?
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
You're right? I've dropped my sword. Have you seen it?
Well, it's by your feet, Taro.
I scoop it.
Yeah. Handle, not the pointy end.
No, I got it. I think.
Okay.
Take 1 point of damage. Oh no!
No, I die.
Oh, no.
Game over.
Don't die in the fucking mirror when you're alone, mate. I cannot stress this enough.
I'll do my best.
Taro.
Hi.
Is Axon in the Vision doing anything right now?
Is Axon in the Vision? But that question.
Yes.
But to Yubi.
Yes.
But with words.
Yes. So as you watch.
I do like the way you made this puzzle. It's like, oh, there's so many different viewpoints. But actually what it mostly is Nerium asking me questions and then I just ask it straight to you.
That's fair. Like that's legit. That's Ooh. Fair. So.
All right. Give us the sitch.
Yeah. So watching, you see this Alice wheel forming. You see it becoming what you know is the Alice wheel, and you see it like being infused with this magic, and then there's this kind of shock, and Axon looks at his hand and there is a number there, and he looks at it and he looks to the wheel and he presses it, and then he is suddenly on the other side of the mirror, and you see this kind of shock and delight and glee, and there's something just a little bit calculating in it. Because he takes a second to look around and to take one slow lap of the room, and then he goes back to the Alice wheel, he presses the same button, and he disappears back into the mirror. And then he waits. He just sits there and waits.
Alright, I think we may have fucked up.
Why?
That monster thing can... You know the thing I did where I touched my hand
and then
I tapped my hand?
You know what, Taro? I'm pretty sure he can hear us, so maybe don't call him a monster thing. That poor lonely child, Axon.
I don't know what it is. He can introduce himself later. We'll do the whole, whatever. Anyway, he did the hand thing, you know? And then I tapped my hand to do the gesture, which I did last time.
You do that, and there is a second where there's this kind of awful wrench of pulling where your vision kind of... It's almost like your head and your body are separated for a second, and then you are in the room, and you see Nerium standing in front of you, and you see Nat beside you.
Taro!
Oh, hey, it worked!
No, I don't think it did work. I have a nasty feeling that I don't know which side of the mirror we're meant to be on, but I think... Oh crap. How hungry are you?
How hungry am I?
You feel fine, Taro.
I'm feeling good.
And you see behind you, where there was once one door, there are now three doors. And one is red, one is pale blue, and one is white.
Bingo, we did it.
Can I see?
You can kind of hear now. But you still can't see, and you can't hear very well.
Nat?
Nerium?
Nat, can you hear me just a little bit?
It's like you're far away.
I'm not, I'm right here, and I take a hand.
You feel that same, almost like little tumble feeling, that same connection pull.
Oh, this time I'm gonna lean in.
I'm gonna let you, because this is all far too stressful.
There is this same sensation that you had before, Nerium, of this falling suddenly, and then you are sitting against the wall, and your vision is kind of grey and blurry, and your ears feel muffled, like you've got a great big furry hat on or something, you just cannot hear. But they're slowly coming back to you. And Natalia, you can hear and see, and you're looking at Nerium in front of you, and both of you no longer feel as hungry as he did.
I am going to giggle and say, well, I don't know what the next puzzle is, but it looks like it's on you two.
Oh,
I can see. Taro.
Hey, Nat.
You're there. And what?
Yeah, a lot of stuff happened.
What happened?
Oh, it's too much to explain.
All right, let's do it out of character. Da-da-da. Cool.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah.
I hear mumbling at this point.
Yeah,
right?
It's coming back quickly. It's like waking up from a long sleep.
I think I probably saved everybody.
Nerium, thank you.
That's okay. To be fair, Taro helped.
Another mystery solved by gun.
Oh, another by pure fluke.
I look over at the three doors. Is there
some kind of opening? Some kind of entrance?
What?
It's like an arch with a thing in it.
This is sort of the weird thing about D&D that a lot of it is doors is that we don't even know what doors are.
Please, can we make that t-shirt if we ever get merch?
Yes. Listen, I just love doors. Metaphorical doors, physical doors.
Describe the
and
doors.
I can't, none of us can understand doors, yeah, no, so it's a really
you
poor
You all
match.
Hate doors.
Nat, sorry, you were
Please,
saying something.
Please, can we fucking let Gary speak for once on this goddamn fucking podcast? Can we goddamn share this time into quarters?
You made her mute.
Yeah, that's fair. Not. That's on you.
That's literally the only thing I did not make her.
Effectively mute.
No. Anyway, please.
I look at the doors with my seeing eyes.
Yes.
What are the distinguishing features between the doors?
The colours. One is red, one is pale blue, and one is white.
And is there anything else going on with them? Are they closed doors?
They're all closed doors, yeah.
Guys? I think we need to proceed.
But which one are we going to pick?
It's the blue one now, isn't it? It's Taro's one.
Taro? How do you feel about your door?
I mean, we could do, or we could roll for it.
Go on, roll your die then.
All right. On a 1 or 2, we'll do blue. On a 3 or 4, we'll do red. And on a 5 and 6, we'll do white. How about that?
All right.
I don't know. Okay.
That seems fair.
Okay.
All right. I roll my dice.
That would be your door, because your dice only has 1s and 2s.
That's correct. And then I quickly scoop the die up after, like...
Wait, Taro?
And then I put my finger over my mouth and go... and walk through the door.
Oh, well, that's all right then. Yeah.
Okay. You head through Taro's door. Hello, it is me, Yubi, your DM, here to say, as always, hello, it's me, your DM, Yubi. I already did that bit. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to our show, and this episode is on time! Yes! Such pure joy! I did it! Huzzah! I can even go and see a movie tonight with my housemate. Yay! Okay, so anyway, thank you so much for listening to our show. We really, really appreciate it. I think I probably mentioned last time, but we've hit over 15,000 downloads, which is incredible. We could not do it without you guys. Thank you so much. Every time you tell a friend, every time you tell a foe, you really help us to find more people. You really help us to grow. Every time that you tweet about us, you interact with us on Twitter or Tumblr, you make a Tumblr post about us, you use the tags, which are just hashtag the mortal path on both sites. It really helps us out so much. We are just so overwhelmed and grateful to see all of the amazing fan art and the memes and the audio posts and the fic and just everything. And if you're missing out on that, you need to get over to our Twitter or our Tumblr page, or both preferably, because we have some really, really awesome stuff there that people are making. It is incredible. Thank you so, so much. If you have a moment, please consider leaving us an iTunes review. It's really easy to do if you're listening on your Apple device. It really, really helps us out, because iTunes really does work with reviews and algorithms to kind of help other people see our podcast. And so with every positive review that you leave, it helps us to find more and more people. So please leave us an iTunes review. We really appreciate it. And we love to read them. So thank you. Don't forget to check out our incredible affiliate, dndice.co.uk, dndice.co.uk. You can use our code MORTALDICE to get 5% off your order. They do free UK shipping, they do a flat international rate, and the dice are absolutely gorgeous. I have the Quasar Questa set. I have a lot of D&D dice, don't get me wrong, but I have the Quasar Questa set, and they are absolutely gorgeous, and a Nat 20 magnet, and I am not allowed to use them when I am a DM because they are too powerful. But they are absolutely gorgeous, so please check them out. They're gorgeous, and they're so, so, so worth it. I also want to give a shout out to Emma, who came along to the Critical Role event that I was hosting in Manchester, Tales from Tal'Dorei, which was fantastic, by the way, came and said hello, who gave me an incredible Findex print, which is so, so good, so good. And just, I love it so much. I'm going to get it framed. Thank you so much. It was so good to meet you. It was incredible and wonderful. And thank you. I hope that you got home safe. I also want to say a huge thank you to Orion and the crew for transcripts. I think we're going to have some more up this weekend, is what I've been told, so keep an eye out for that on our website. I also want to say, of course, a huge thank you to Rachel Graff, rachelgraff.com. You can go and check out her site there. She's been writing music for NaNoWriMo, which is not quite nearly over, but she will have done an incredible job. I cannot wait to hear her new album. Check out her Twitter, check out her site. She wrote our theme song. She wrote the music that's in The Fallen City. It's just incredible. Her work is so, so amazing. We are gearing up towards what's going to be the finale of our first arc here in the main campaign. It's going to get wild, let me tell you that. It gets really wild, and it's going to be really fun. We've got some really fun things coming up with some new systems. We are going to absolutely keep on running the 5th edition D&D main campaign, but we've got some new fun systems to work in. So if you've been enjoying our Dungeon World arc, get ready for a couple of new little like one-shots and a little thing coming around. It's going to be really exciting. I can't wait. And yeah, enjoy this good, 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 feel good for once, this good, good, feel good episode.
As As we go through the door, I'm holding on to Nat.
Okay.
I allow this.
Thank you.
I'm holding on to my sword, the only thing I truly trust.
The first
That's
thing
not true.
You drop.
That's bullshit. I don't know anything about a sword.
Okay. So you walk through this door and there's again the second where it's almost like you're walking through static. And then you have stepped into this little office room with these high ceilings and this kind of stone wall, this dark wood paneling. There's a window that looks out into this corner. And as you peer around, you can kind of see out this corner. This room is maybe like 2 or 3 floors up. And this corner has this sign that hangs down really low. And it's a blind corner. And it looks like bad architecture planning.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Hey, guys. Check this out.
Uh-huh.
What are we checking out?
Look at that sign. Just look at that sign. And just watch.
You all peer out the window. There's also in this room a desk, there's a sofa, and there is a big portrait above the desk of this very, very, very beautiful woman. And there's a little kind of plaque underneath it that says Antona Rosa Millenia, and then underneath Robes of Ceremony. And she looks very, very regal and important. Very, very beautiful woman. And as you're peering out this window, there's a couple of like 30 or so seconds that go by, and then somebody walks around the corner, and it's just like this average human person who walks around the corner, and immediately with a dong that you can almost hear 3 floors up, just cracks their head into the sign, which has been put such a terrible angle that clearly everybody who comes around this corner just goes face first into this low-hanging sign.
Ooh, ow.
Nice.
So, Taro, is this somewhere you're from?
Well, yeah, I've hung out here a fair amount.
What went wrong here?
I don't know, things went pretty right here, I think, overall. One of the few times they have.
Right, okay, because we went to my past and a certain person was violent towards you two. And then we went to something that happened in Nat's past and got trapped in mirrors. And so what happened in your past, Taro? And I'm kind of shaking him
a bit. I don't think that was my past, Nerium.
Well, Taro got stuck in the mirror and you were there and we went through your door to get there.
I guess, but that never happened. Nothing. Like, I mean, that seemed more like the creature's past.
Yeah, but the creature's past was where we were in my childhood as well, because I saw Dexa. That house was not the way it was when I was really there, and bits of it were wrong, and bits of it, there was Dexa shutting doors and scampering through hallways and stuff. I think Axon is making this for us three, and he's doing it using things from our memories. But he's dropping bits of himself in it. I don't know why.
As you say that, the longest wall in the room, opposite the window, is suddenly gone. And instead of ending at a wall, you see a child's bedroom. And it is the same bedroom that you found the mask in Atenas Manor. And it opens up like the two rooms were stuck together and the dividing wall between them has just been removed. Like an open plan sitting room that was clearly once a sitting room and a dining room, and now they've knocked the wall out in the middle. And you see Kaishu, and he's sleeping on his bed, and it's kind of dark in the room, like a dim light, and then the door creaks open, and you see the figure of Axon creep in, and Kaishu, after a moment, stirs and sits up, and he beams, and he smiles, and he waves, and the creature comes scampering over, and they sit on the bed, and they sort of like lean together, and they're talking in these kind of hushed tones.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? You guys, are you seeing this?
Taro, can you hear what they're saying?
I'd like to try.
Yeah. You take a second to listen and all three of you can hear. And there's this sense that it's not a spoken language. It's not something that you're translating. It's Natalia, for you, it's almost the same as like when you read your books. It's more like when you're in a dream and you dream you can speak another language and you can hear it totally, but there's not actual words happening. And they're talking about kind of like kid things. Axon is asking about Kaishu's day, and then he kind of forms this magical face around his own and turns it into Kaishu, and he kind of like pulls it off and it becomes this kind of mask, and he shows it to Kaishu, who's laughing and giggling, and who puts it on and kind of turns into this sort of Axon-like creature, but not quite. It's clunky, it's It's like a first attempt at it.
I'd like to look at my shoulder.
Yeah, you have that mask there.
I start to slowly walk towards them.
Okay. Neither of them take any notice of you.
Nah, nah.
What?
Nah, stop.
I stop.
I don't think they're really there. I think it's a vision. And the visions that we had in the last place, they were kind of playing on repeat. It might be worth watching till it finishes, because if you walk up to it, it might dispel.
I back up.
I want to sit on the sofa.
Okay. You sit. It's a really, like, nice, wide sofa. It's clearly one of those sofas that you can actually, like, fold out and it would become a bed of sorts. It's like...
Is it my sofa?
Yeah, it's like your sofa, actually. That's a okay. Very good... Yeah, it's Gary's sofa.
This is my sofa. It's my dream.
I was like, hang on, Nat has a fucking sofa
my memory,
now.
It's my sofa.
Yeah, so you know that it does fold out into, like, this nice kind of, like, bed situation.
Yeah, I do. Wink.
You take a second, Taro. You sit on the sofa that you know very well. And as you watch Kaishu take these little rocks and make them glow. You watch him do these kind of card tricks with cards that Kaishu has. You watch them talking in this way that is so clear that they are friends. Axon starts to mimic this perfect mimic of Kaishu's voice. He mimics the sounds of pianos playing. He starts to do all of this kind of like magic tricky. And Kaishu is just delighted by it. But at some point, their conversation takes like a slightly darker tone, and Axon starts to talk about how he's kept away upstairs, how the servants aren't allowed up there. He talks about Dexa growing colder and angrier and asking for advice on what he can do. And you can see that there's uncertainty now in Kaishu, but Axon pulls him back in with these magic tricks. And it's this scene of someone kind of reaching out, and you can see this almost desperation on Axon's face every time that Kaishu starts to pull back. This deep kind of aching loneliness. And he talks about being hungry, and he talks about how when he comes down here and he talks and they're together, that he doesn't feel like that anymore. And after a while, the scene ends and Axon creeps back out and Kaishu goes to sleep. And then just as you predicted, the door opens and he comes in again, and it's just this repeating scene. But you see in the far corner of this room three postage stamp size doors. One is red, one is light blue, one is white, and as you watch them, they are very, very, very slowly growing bigger, but it's a very kind of slow grow. At this point, you all level up. Are you all leveled?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Am I safe to say that you three, you are all on the sofa now? Or are Nat and Nerium still standing? Because it's a relatively long scene.
I'm looking at the doors.
Come on, it's a nice sofa. Come and take a seat.
I'll sit.
Are these getting bigger?
I think so.
I wasn't sure if I was just staring at them for a long time. God, poor Axon. He's had some shit happen.
No, he sucks.
No, I kind of agree with Nerium. He's been badly treated, but I don't think that's an excuse to do what he's done.
I mean, I don't know how young he is. When we saw him being spun out in the Hall of Stars, and we didn't know it was him, but it was him, and what if he already existed and was summoned? Or what if he was born then?
Well, look, he's been pretending to be Kaishu the whole time we've known him, so...
But Kaishu was his friend.
Yeah, so why is he pretending?
I don't think he had many friends. I don't know what happened to Kaishu.
Maybe he just got stuck.
Maybe.
But the question is, did he go on a murderous death rampage before, or did something else do that? And I'm a little worried about that.
Well, he was saying there, wasn't he, that he didn't feel as hungry when he talked to someone who was a friend.
That, or...
But he did kind of eat that, like, slab of leg out of your bag.
Maybe he's become one with Kaishu?
God, that's freaky. Mind you, what isn't? How big are those doors now?
They are slowly growing.
I want to pull out the magic card things.
Okay, it is the same deck of cards.
Cool, I want to show something. I'm going to do some card tricks.
Okay.
Hey, Nat, take a card.
I take a card.
I do a card trick.
Okay, roll me. Roll me sleight of hand.
Cool.
It's that beautiful word picture that you're painting.
Storytelling masterpiece.
I don't know anything about card tricks. Come on.
You do the double lift.
15.
15. Make me a perception check, Natalia.
3.
3. It's the best card trick you've ever fucking seen. It's unbelievable.
Taro, yeah. I mean, this is very good magic, but I don't think it's very useful.
Oh, shit. Is the magic working again?
No, it's not magic. It's just a trick. Look, I'll show you the thing. When I do this, I slip this card out from under here, through here, and then it's easy, you see?
Nerin puts her hands over her ears, shuts her eyes, and goes, la 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 la. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Magic
how it
isn't
works.
Real, Nerin. Magic isn't real.
I cast prestidigitation and make a little spangle come out of my fingertips.
Roll me a d20.
Roll for spangle. Crap.
It's a 12.
12? It happens. It works. You feel this connection with your magic that is not as strong as it's been before, but less muffled, as if instead of being either not there completely or miles and miles away, it's kind of like across the street. It's kind of there. It's hard to tap into, but it's easier than before.
Oh, wow. I clench my fists together and go, Axon, are we going to wake up now? Can we wake up? Please let us wake up.
Make me an insight check.
18.
You take a second to concentrate and you feel the sensation of like lying next to someone. And like they're kind of pressed down like your left hand side, like you're very, very close. And this person is warm and like a little bit kind of like bony. And there's a second and then you feel like this touch of like a scaled hand, like again on your head, again soothing. And you hear this kind of very soft voice like, are you, hey, can you, hey, Nerium, hey. And it's very soft and quiet, like Findex is whispering and desperate not to be heard.
I go, Findex.
What, you can hear Findex?
Findex, if that's, I could hear him for a minute. I thought I could hear him. We're going to come find you. I'm so sorry for everything.
There's like this second of like delay. And then you feel that kind of like patting motion again in your head. And Findex goes, I hope you're okay. I've got you all. You're okay. Just. And then there's silence. But he's still got his hand like on. And it's a very faint touch. But
yeah,
there's very much.
I'm concentrating on it really hard.
Yeah.
In the hope that I can hang on to it. But I am going to turn to Nat and say, Nat, when you were in the room and we were in the mirror, you said, Findex. Did you hear him too?
Yeah, I could hear him. And it felt like he was like stroking my hair.
Oh, me too.
I also heard our friend.
So.
I don't know what that was. That's fine, just cut
it. It's all right. Emotions are hard, Tara. I understand. So we might be getting closer to getting out of whatever Axon's doing to us now. But nothing's gone horribly wrong in this room yet.
No, I said I had a nice time.
What happened, Taro? Taro, do you know what? This is a nice comfy sofa and those doors are growing, but it's quite slow. Why don't you tell us what happened in this room?
Do you sit on the sofa?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
No,
the sofa trap.
Yes.
The sofa is a mimic.
My second biggest fear, a folding bed suddenly becoming a sofa again in the night. You're so right. It's my one true fear. No, that's fine. Please continue.
So far, so good.
I think Tara, like, pulls the lever on the sofa that makes, like, the sofa bed, like, flip out.
Okay.
And goes, what do you think?
Very quickly, what is your positioning? Who is where on the sofa? Who's in the middle? Who's, if you're looking at you?
I think Tara sat on one of the corners so he could, like, you know, do the thing where you sit in the corner of a sofa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I probably sat next to Tara.
Then I'm on the end. And incidentally, when Taro flicks that lever, I imagine he does it with gusto, and I imagine Nerium pings into the air by about a foot.
Make me a dexterity saving throw.
I mean, it's a dexterity saving throw, so I'm not too all worried. Yeah, that's an 18.
Yeah, go on, all of you. 18.
I got a natural one, so... My fucking maneuver did not pay off.
Okay.
I got 21.
You got a 21. Okay. Taro, you pull this lever with just gusto, glee, wild abandon, and Natalia and Nerium, you both kind of have this, you have the shock of it, but you manage to kind of like right yourselves and catch yourselves. It is Taro who actually has realized that this is not the best place to sit on the sofa because this part is particularly springy and kind of gets like thrown over the both of you type situation. Oh, no.
Well, why did you do that, Taro?
It was going to be a cool thing where I was going to be like, hey, and then make the bed appear and go, what do you think I did here?
So is that what happened when you were here before? You just flung yourself across the room and looked like a bit of a tit?
Occasionally, yeah.
It does seem to be your natural state of being.
Don't worry, it was endearing. It was endearing. That was half the point, was that it was endearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, actually, yes.
Let's just say, before I came here, I was on the road for a bit. And when you're on the road, you've got to make some money, right? You know, you got to eat food, you got to live, etc. You got to have nice things.
Yep.
And this friend of mine came up with an idea for a, you know, a little caper. Let's call it that. And it turns out that her, you seen that picture?
Oh, yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah, she also has a lot of money.
Describe her, Tara. What's she look like?
I think she is a human.
Okay.
And she's probably like in the mid 5 foot range. I think she's wearing like a suit of armor, but with like a, I think she's got dark skin and she's wearing a suit of armor with like white trim. So it's like it's a cape with like white fluffy trim around it.
Yeah.
Ooh, very Storm. I like it.
Yeah, but with no helmet.
Okay.
And she's got kind of braided hair. Like I think it's dark hair, but like Saber from Fate's Day Night.
Okay.
She's very pretty.
Yep, sure was. Is. I assume is. I don't know. Unless something happened to her.
Go on with your story.
Oh, it's simple, right? I just had to get... The trick was to get her... Well, her or her husband. We had to get... Yeah, so the plan was we'd work our way into the good graces of the Divine Hallows. And then we'd have free reign of the halls. And we could just, you know, get all the riches.
Get all the riches?
You know, it's a big...
They just give them out if you're... One of the Divine Hallows. What are the Divine Hallows?
Oh, it's a church in Grenfate.
Both of you roll me religion checks.
Yeah, I got 15.
18.
You take a second, but you've both heard of it, and you know that Grenfate, Nerium especially, you know that Grenfate is a town that's maybe a week and a half travel by cart away from Hopewell. And for Natalia, it's a fortnight, 3 weeks by cart from Sindarin. You've heard of it, and you've kind of heard of the religion.
Grenfate is a town, well, it's a city, really, where, like, it's basically, like, controlled by this church that is both, like, the kind of state religion of this little area, and also, like, its governing body as well. So it's, like, it's a combination kind of...
it's a theocracy.
Semi-monarchy. Yeah, it's a theocracy. But there's lots of, like, bureaucrats in it at various ranks, and this woman was, like, the de facto leader, so not, like... I think there was, like, somebody who was kind of elected as the leader, but actually it was this leader of the kind of religious branch.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
So, Taro, were you and her... Did you,
What, on this bed? Ew!
Yeah, well, the plan originally was that I just sort of climbed the ranks very quickly by, you know, doing some blackmail, you know, all that stuff. But she took a liking to me very early
on. So instead of climbing the ranks, you climbed the leader?
Yeah. Yeah,
hey.
Yeah. I suppose I did climb the ranks, and her and her husband as well. So that's really when things started to go downhill. So,
oh, that's messy.
That's terrible.
Oh, Matt,
you're banned.
Well, he was very nice.
Well, what did she know?
Well, I presume she found out.
Well, eventually, yeah, things sort of came to a head.
That is absolutely Nerium in character making that noise.
And so then we, you know, had to make myself scarce. Scarce?
Scarce.
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 Scarce. Scarce. That one. That word, yeah.
Right. So was there any kind of altercation in this room?
I mean, you could call it an altercation if you really want to use that wording.
I don't want any kind of details about how far that would be appropriate.
Then why do you keep asking?
Well, I'm just checking nothing terrible is going to happen before we get through those doors.
No, don't think so.
Right.
I want to be very clear, yeah? That the answer to the puzzle is not to bang. I want to be very explicit on this. This is not the puzzle I've set up. Just because there was a minute.
That, no. There was a That's minute not even occurred to
where
me.
I were like, I just wanted to be very clear on that point. This is not the puzzle.
You've solved my sex puzzle.
Let's crack out the actual rules. Roll constitution check.
Miriam sort of pauses, strokes her chin for a second, and says, "So, I'm just wondering, given that context and the fact that all three of us are on a bed."
I mean, no. Definitely people are paid to clean it.
Do you remember when we had to climb those stairs and we all had to take a step together?
Yes.
No, never mind. Doesn't matter. Stupid idea. Forget I said anything. Nothing. No. Anyway, so... Oh, well, Taro, I mean, that was very enterprising of you.
Nat looks mortified for a second.
Well, yeah, it would have been if we hadn't messed it all up.
How are those doors coming along?
Yeah, what's going with the doors? Come on.
Okay.
How's the doors going? How's the doors going?
You three look over to the doors, and they are now three fully-sized doors. And there is a second where you feel this, like, this little running connection between the three of you. And there is a second where, although Natalia is like currently sitting between you two, there's a minute where it just feels kind of off, like maybe it's Taro between the two of you, and then that feeling just kind of fades a little bit, just a slight displacement feeling.
Wait, did you feel that? Kind of. Okay, something's just dawned on me.
What?
Dawned? Hey, I get it. That's funny.
Oh my god, Nat, it's not the time, I'm too stressed.
Sorry. We've all gone through the same door so far.
Oh.
Wait, what do you mean, the same door?
As in, we've all followed each other through a particular door. And did you get that feeling just then where it seemed like Taro was between me and you and Aria?
I thought we'd abandoned that idea.
Hey. Let's do the stairs thing, but with doors. Let's get out of here. Come on. Nat is spot on. This sounds good.
In what order are the doors?
Same as before, so light blue, red, and then white.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't
though.
Make sense, though, because why would Taro be in the middle? Because the red one's you, isn't it, Nat?
All three of you roll me insight checks.
I got 14 plus whatever my insight is.
Okay.
17, that's the one. 17.
10.
Natalia, you don't. There's not really a feeling of a change or anything. Neriam, there's a second where you feel that kind of feeling again against your shoulder, that kind of pressure of someone lying next to you. And you kind of have this feeling of almost like when you're waking up from a dream in that sense. And Taro, you have the same feeling, but much more clearly. You can feel on either side of you suddenly what feels like two people, one bigger and the other smaller. And that almost like wobble, like you're on the edge of waking up from some sort of dream.
The person next to me feels bony, don't
they? Yes, and then the feeling fades again and you're kind of back where you are in this room.
It is Taro in the middle.
All right, well...
Wherever we really are.
What do you reckon, Nat? Are we getting close? Is this it?
I think we just go through our doors.
All right.
You get up, you head over to these doors and you...
Wait, there's three of us. So we've got two options. We can go through our own doors or we can go through the three doors... In the order of, like, I was next to Taro, so presumably Nat's on the other side of Taro. And Taro, you're on my left. So we can go through the doors like that, or we can each go through our own doors. What do we think is the better idea?
I've not got a clue.
I want to go through my own door.
I think I do too.
Well, that's 2-1.
Yeah, I suppose.
With one abstaining.
All right, let's
Wait,
make it happen.
Before we go through those doors, I'm sorry, just in case on the other side... don't see either of you again. Thank you. And bits of it have been quite fun, actually. I'm glad I met you.
Same here, Nerim. All in all, it's been one of the nicer... This has been one of the nicer friendships I've had.
I can't say that the experience has been altogether great, but I can say that you two have helped me through, and I thank you both for that, and I'm glad to know you.
Yeah, I feel that. It's been emotional. We got to find Findex, though.
All right, let's do this shit.
Okay.
We step.
We step.
We do that shit.
We do the big steppy.
You do the big steppy. There's a second as you step up to the doors where there's this, again, this intense feeling of connection, and you all feel rejuvenated. You feel better. You feel, in fact, better than you've ever been, and you are not hungry at all. You feel actually like you've eaten like a good meal. And then you step up to your doors and you pull them open, and all three of you are hit by the same smell. It's one of like fire or burning, a little bit sulfurous. And then all three of you step through your doors. I would like you to roll initiative.
Oh my god. I hate to fight. Five.
Five, one, and?
Eight.
Eight. Okay.
I know.
Wow. You did it. You won.
Yay.
You all step through your doors, and there's this feeling of like staticky energy. And unlike walking through the black kind of void that's been leading you to certain places, this one feels rough, almost like a woolen sweater, itchy and scratchy. And there's a moment where you are all suddenly like pulled violently left or right, and like you're being jostled and sorted, or like your marbles in the bottom of a bag being, you know, rustled around. And then all three of you appear on the streets of Morganfields, and Nerium is slightly in front of you. Taro and Natalia, both of you roll me intelligence checks or history checks.
Don't do this.
11.
Don't do this again.
10.
You won the initiative order.
Oh, no. That's a terrible prize.
Taro, you feel this kind of weird sensation of almost like deja vu. And Nat, this is very vaguely familiar, but like super vaguely familiar. Like maybe you passed through here a while ago, but you didn't really like hang around. But Nerim, you know this very well. These are the streets of Morganfields, and you are outside a big house, and you know this scene incredibly well because you are standing on watch, and you know that what is happening behind you is a burglary. And as you take a second to catch your breath, again, there is this smell of like burning and almost something sulfurous, and you feel this kind of heat wash over you, and it's a mixture of like the heat from the desert of Exton and this kind of fire-like heat, something burning close by.
Where's that coming from, though?
You're not sure. It's just like all around you. And then there is a second before a whistle blows and six guards rush round.
Six
guards rush round the corners.
Do they look friendly?
Make me an insight check, Tara.
They don't look fucking friendly.
Tara loves to incise. 7.
Kind of hard to read, look very energetic and kind of angry.
Nerium, is it run time? This sounds like running time.
I'm fucking done with running.
It's time to fight.
Stand your ground, Taro.
I run like a little bit back.